Okay, so we are in Perek Yudchet, chapter 18 of Shoftim. Hopefully we'll cover a little more ground than we did last time. I don't think we really moved last week too much. So, so we have here at the beginning of the chapter that the B'nai Dan are out looking for a place to settle. They don't really have a proper piece of land. And on the way, they send out spies, and on their way they stop at Beis Micha, at the house of Micha. In Pasuk Gimel, Hema in Beis Micha, they were by the house of Micha, the Hema Hikiru es Kohanar Halevi, and they recognized the voice of this young Levi, Vayasurusham, so they decide to head in that direction, Vayomru lo, and they said to him, Mi Heviyacha Halom, who brought you here, Umata Oseh Bozeh, and what are you doing here? Umalechafo, and what brings you here? Sam spoke about what all those different questions were last time. Hayomer aleihem, and he said to them, Kazo v'chazeh also we Micha, like this and like this, Micha has done for me. Vayiskireni v'ayigo l'kohen, and he hired me, and I am a Kohen. Basically, Kazo v'chazeh, he told them the whole story of how he came to this position, and he hired me, and I became his priest for his Pesel, for his idol. Vayomru lo, and they said to him, Sha'alna ve'lo him, ask of this God, the Neda, and we should know, Hasatliach darkenu, will we be matzliach, will we be successful in our mission here? We're trying to conquer some land. Asher anachnu holkim aleh, that we are going for. Again, these are actually just the spies going to look for a piece of land. Vayomer lahem ha-kohen, and the kohen said to them, Lechu l'shalom, go in peace, nochach Hashem, darkechem, your way is opposite Hashem, but in Hashem is agreeable. Asher telchuva, that you'll go. What? Hashem is agreeable. What? Oh, why is the word nochach? I'm not sure. It happens to be there's different mepharshim here. Let's go back a pasuk to pasuk hey first. It seems to be, the consensus that the Elohim referred to here is not referring to Hashem in pasuk hey. It's referring to what does Art Scroll think?
In
verse 5.
Above.
No, in verse 5.
Okay. God with a capital G.
Ah, okay. So,
and then in the next verse, it's Hashem.
Yeah, so in the next verse, indeed, Rashi learns it's referring to Hashem. But in Pasuk Hey, so,
according to Targum, they were referring to God, not to an idol.
In 5 or 6?
5.
Okay.
Accordingly, they thought that the Levite was a legitimate priest and that his icon was a means of divine inquiry, like that of the Talmud of Torah, or in the Torah.
Right. Okay. Right. So the Radak, right? The Targum. The Radak brings the Targum. That right. That Elo. That it's Elohim here. That it's the Lashon Kodesh. It's referring to Hashem in Pasuk Hey. But even I guess with that, they would be requesting. They understood. The Sovet says this, that this Pesel is something real. It has capabilities to tap into, seeing the future. But maybe something like the Urim Thummim, some way of accessing of no, it's certainly forbidden, but that's what they, I don't know if it even worked really, but they thought that it had that capability. Pasuk Vav, so right, on the word Nocha Hashem Darkechem, so again, different commentaries, different approaches. I was telling you the Radak that Hashem helps. Radak says, "You are Elokim Imachem." The help of Hashem is with you. Also, that's the Targum asking Hashem. Or Chastong, Hashem will fix your way. Hashem is gonna be gonna help you. Rashi, I wasn't clear on what exactly he meant. Rashi says, "No, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, who Galoy? It's revealed. It's known to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Kizeh Ein Bo Mamish. That this isn't real. It's idol." But I wasn't sure what he wanted with that. Fine. So Micha tells them, the Kohen assures them that they're going to be successful in their mission. Vayelchu chamesha sa'anoshim vayavo loisha. And the five men went and they came to this place, loisha, a place called Layish. It was also referred to as Leshem in other places. Vayiru esa'am asher bekirba. And they saw the nation inside, Yosheves Lavetach, sitting securely, Kimishvat Sidonim, like the Sidonim. The Sidonim, I guess, were another group of people, and they were comfortable. They weren't part of Canaan. The Jewish people didn't attack them. These people, in the same way, they were comfortable, they hadn't been attacked. Showcase to Voteach, they were quiet and secure. The Ein Machlim Davar Ba'aret Yoresh Etzer. And none of them needed the other. There was no fighting among them. They weren't mouthing each other. They didn't insult each other. They weren't missing anything. Yoresh Etzer, they didn't have much. There wasn't, you know, if they would be, Rashi says, if they were Yoreshim Watson, they were inherited little, that if they would be killed, there wouldn't be others to come they didn't have Yoreshim. They didn't have inheritors. They didn't have anyone, you know, if they would get wiped out, nobody would come and take away claim to land. This was good land for the taking, because there weren't others who would step in to take it. They were far. What's that?
To lie with them?
To ally. That sort of, okay, they could be, you could say that in that part, also the next part of the pasuk, they were far from the Sidonim, the closest people, the Davar Englahemim Adam, and they didn't have anything to do with other people, they didn't have any deals, any treaties, any covenants, they didn't have anything going on with other nations. They were sort of solitary and easy picking, you could say. Other Mefarshim learned Kimishpat Sidonim means that they were merchants, they had cattle, they were comfortable and they didn't have they weren't involved in conquering, they didn't have, you know, they hadn't been involved in wars, and they were, you know, they were secure, and they were sort of had their guard down. And that was the main point, was that they had their guard down. Sorry, that's what they did. They did have their guard down. They weren't expecting any attackers, and these people of Don decided that this was the perfect place for them to conquer. So, And they came to their brothers in Sarah and Eshtaol, and they said to them, Achayim, Ma Atem. Vayomru Lahem Achayim, and their brothers said to them, Ma Atem, what are you, meaning what do you have to say, what do you see, what do you have to report from your mission? Did you find a good place to conquer? Vayomru, and they said, Kuma v'nale aleihem, get up, and let's go and attack them. Kirainu es ha'aret, for we have seen the land. V'nei tova me'od, and behold, it is very good. V'atem machshim, and you don't tell anyone, be quiet, be silent. We don't want anyone else to find out about this great opportunity. Don't start talking about it. Alte atlu, don't be lazy. Laveches, lovel, arrest to come and conquer this land. Let's go get it before someone else takes it first. Tivoachem, pasuk yod. Tavo el amboteach. When you come, you'll come to a secure nation, a confident nation. V'haaretz rachvas yodayim, and the land is wide, lots to have there. Yinesana elokim b'yadchem, for Hashem is giving it into your hand. Makom asher ein sham machzor, it's a place where there's nothing missing, even though it's not part of the main part of Eretz Yisrael, but it has whatever we need there. So davar asher ba'aretz, everything that could be in the land, it has. This is a great place. So the people listen. Vayisu misham mishpachas hadonit, and they traveled from there, from the Don family, mitzara le'ashtaol. 600 men, chagur klei melchama, girded with weapons, ready to go and conquer the city. Ayalu, Pasuk Yedbeis, and they went up. Mayachanu b'Kiryas Ya'arim b'Yehuda, and they camped in this place, Kiryas Ya'arim, in Yehuda. Al kein karo l'makom ahu Machane Dan. That's why that place is called Machane Dan ad hayom hazeh, until this day. B'nei achare Kiryas Ya'arim, after it was called Kiryas Ya'arim, it became known as Machane Dan, because that's where the Danites camp. Well, I guess it was in Yehuda. Yes, so the Pasuk is telling me, if you're wondering why there's a place in Yehuda called Machane Dan, it's because they camp there. Ayavru misham Har Ephraim, and they passed from there to Har Ephraim. Vayavo at Beis Micha, and they came to the house of Micha. Micha's house seems to be, Grand Central Station. Everybody who's traveling passes through there. Because here we have them again passing through Micha's house. Actually, that's a good place to just pause for a minute. The Gemara says that, the Gemara is talking about Gemara and Sanhedrin, all the people who didn't have a chelek, didn't have a portion in Olam Haba, different Rishayim. And the Gemara one has a list, or the Mishnah maybe, and the Gemara wants to know, why didn't they count Micha? Why wasn't Micha part of the list of people who don't have a place, a portion in Olam Haba? I don't know how the Gemara knew that he doesn't, but it seems to take for granted that he didn't have a place in Olam Haba. So he asked, why wasn't he listed? And the answer the Gemara gives is, because his bread was available to travelers. He had an open home. Now the Gemara, it's not clear if the Gemara is saying that that's just why they didn't mention him, but really he still did not have a portion in Olam Haba. But if he didn't get mentioned because he had this merit, they didn't want to single him out. Or if that was actually a saving grace and he did have a portion in Olam Haba because of this mitzvah, not so clear. Rashi says, where do we see this? Shayukola Ogla Mis Arachin Etzra. The whole world, you know, dwelled by him, you know, were guests by him. Obviously not literally, but everyone, he always had guests passing through, to the Siv, towards the Pasuk, Kova Over V'Sada L'Alavim, Zeh Micha. Okay, it's not clear where this Pasuk is, I mean, it doesn't seem to exist, but he quotes something to this effect. Now the Atiyotze elaborates on this, and he says, just looking at this throughout the story, as we just mentioned, we see that he had an open home. Everybody happens to pass through Micha's home. We had first this young Levi. So how did he end up being the Kohen of Micha? So he happened to pass through. He was looking for work, basically. He came there on his way. And Yosef says, he didn't come because it was Har Ephraim. He came there because Hayostam Beis Micha. Because there was Beis Micha, and it was an inn, it was a guest house. And to get food there, and we have again with our group of spies here that they passed through. They dwelled there, and this is where we see this is where the Gemara how the Gemara knows that he had this merit that Tito Mitsuya Rovrei Drachen his bread his bread was available to travelers, and this was his saving grace. The Gemara goes on actually. It's a little interesting anecdote, and it says that Tanya Rabbi Nachman Omer, Migarav Leshilo Shlosha Milim, from Gare, from this place where Har Ephraim, where Micha lived, until Shilo, where the Mishkan was 3 mil, distant of 3 mil, not very far, a couple of miles. And the smoke of the Pesel Micha mixed in with the smoke of the Mizbeach. The smoke of the Mizbeach rose straight. The smoke of Pesel Micha came from 3 mil away from the sacrifices that they brought in Micha's little temple. The smoke traveled and mixed in with the smoke of the Mizbeach. And the Gemara says that Bikshu Malachi Asharis L'Dachbo. The Malachim wanted to Dachbo, to push him, to stop him. Amar Elam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hanichu Lo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, leave him. Shepito Mitsuyu Lo Ovri Drachim. Because his bread is available to travelers. The way Rashi learns, L'Dachbo L'Micha, they wanted to stop Micha, to put him out of business. The Malachim wanted to intervene. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, leave him. Because he has this saving grace that he is a machnes orchim, he has guests. Well, at least it's enough that the malachim couldn't intervene. I suppose. The Marsha argues on Rashi, and the Marsha says that they didn't want L'Dachbo to push aside Micha. They weren't trying to eliminate Micha. They wanted L'Dachbo to push. L'Dachbo means to push. They wanted to push the smoke away from the Mizbeach, to separate the smoke from the Mizbeach. The problem with the Marsha is then it's just very unclear why, you know, leave it because he gives, you know, he serves guests. Right? It's a little even more difficult, right? But then the question just is sort of compounded.
Change the wind.
What?
Change the direction of the wind.
Yeah, so that's how the Maharsha learns. This is the Gemara. I don't have much to say about it. It's just an interesting little anecdote. I didn't see anything more about it. Although I think there are some Sionim here, maybe if I have a chance I'll look them up. I think I did look some of them up. But yeah, that's what our show learns, that he tried to, that they wanted to push aside the smoke. Like Kadosh Baruch Hu said to leave it, because he hosts, you know, he has the merit of hosting guests. Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say about this Gemara. There's a lot of questions, I think. Why are the Malachim intervening in the first place? What's the, you know, since when do Malachim say, oh, there's a Rashba, let me, you know, can we take care of him? Yeah. I thought that was Malachim. That was the star of that's the type of Malach. Right, okay, it's a different type of. This is Malachi Asharis. This is there's different roles of. Yeah. So. But. Okay. Anyways, just throw that in. So here again, we have a group of people coming to the house of Micha. Pasuk Yedaled, Vayanu Chamesha Tanosim Ahokim Uragel Asaret Zlayish, and the five men who had gone to seek out the land, to search out the land, they answered, they said, they said to the brothers, how you got them? You know, in this house, in these houses, there's this ephod, this apron, this garment, the trophim, and these other idol accessories, upesa umaseicha, and this famous important idol. And now, get ready, you know what to do, we're going to take this powerful idol for ourselves. And they turned aside there, and they came to the house of this lad, the house of Micha, and they greeted him in peace. They said, how you doing? So I guess this was the five men who went forward. The other 600 who had armed men were standing by the gate. The other 600 men from Bnei Dan were waiting by the gate. Pasuk Yedayin. And the five men who had gone up to search out the land, they went up. Bo Shama, they came there. They took the pestle and the ephod, and all the idol accessories. The Kohen Nisa Pesach Hashar, and the Kohen was standing by the opening of the gate. The Sheish Meo Saish Hachagar Kohen Melchama, along with the 600 men who were armed, they also stood by the gate. So they pulled a little, I think they had a little decoy here, where they got the Kohen to come out the gate to talk to the 600 men, and meanwhile the five others went in behind them and pulled out the pestle and micha. I believe that's how they did it, if I remember correctly.
Who
Yeah, the way that the Sabbath speaks this out, that first they went to talk to the Levi, the five men went to the Levi, and they walked with him back to the 600 men, and while the Levi was speaking with them, with the men, the Meraglim, the spies went back to the base Levi, and they took the Pastel Micha and all its accessories out of the house. Pasuk Yitzes describes this, Ve'ele bo ve'sticha, and these ones came to the house of Micha, Vayikhu es Pesel ha'ephod, and they took the Pesel, they took the ephod, Ves ha'trafim, Ves ha'masecha, they took all the things, Vayomer aleihem ha'kohen, and the Kohen notices them, and he says, Ma'atem oshim, what are you doing? How come you're taking these things? Vayomru lo, and they said to him, Hacharesh, quiet, Yadcha al picha, put your hand over your mouth, Velech imanu, and go with us, Veyeh lanu la'avu l'kohen, and you can be for us a leader, and a Kohen, and a priest. Hatov ha'yos l'kohen l'veis yishechad, is it better for you to be the priest for the house of one guy? Oh, a yos the kohen l'shevet l'mishpach of the Yisrael, or you could be the kohen, you could be the priest for an entire tribe and a large family within Israel. This is, you know, we're going to give you a what? Promotion, yeah, thank you. That's what I'm looking for. We're going to give you a promotion here. You could stay here, you know, serving one guy, or you could be the head of the leader and the teacher and the priest of a whole tribe. They're from Dutch. Vayitav Lev HaKohen, and the heart of the Kohen was happy with this. They got him, you know, he couldn't resist the kavod and the position. Vayikach es ha'ephod es ha'trafim, and he took the ephod and the trafim es ha'pesel. Vayavo b'karev ha'am, and he came within the nation, he joined them. Vayisnu v'yelchu, and they turned and they went. Vayasimu es hataf es hamikneh es hakvuda lifneihem, and they placed the children and the cattle and the weighty things out in front of them. What? Yeah. So the idea was they were expecting to have to turn around to fight. So they put the children in front and the stuff that they could continue on their way if they had to turn around to fight. They were starting to distance themselves from the house of Micha. And the people of the houses that lived around Micha, Mizaku, they gathered together by Yadbiku as B'nei Dan, and they caught up to the people of Dan. By Yikru al B'nei Dan, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, and they called out to the people of Dan. Vayasevu Pneim, and the people of Dan turned around. Vayomru l'Micha, and they saw, I guess Micha was there. They said to Micha, Malacha ki nizakta, what are you doing? How come you have gathered here? How come you've gathered your people together? Chaf Dalet Vayomer, and he said, Es Elohai asher otisi l'kachtem, the image, the God that I created, that I made, you have taken. The Esa Kohen, as well as the Kohen, Batelchu, and you've gone. Umaliyod, and what else do I have? Umazet Tomeru Elai Malach, and what are you saying to me? What are you doing here? You know exactly why I've come for my idol back. Hayomere Elav B'nei Dan, And the people of Dan said to them, Atish Tashma Kolcha Imanu, don't let your voice be heard anymore with us. Don't say another word. Shut your mouth. And Yifku Uvachem Anasim Mare Nefes, lest the bigger ones strike at you. We have some angry people here among us. They're going to get mad at you if you say anything else. And it's not going to work out well for you. And your soul, yourself, you're going to be killed, as well as your family, if you try to stand up to us. Yeah, in the Farshim that I saw, say it's the angry one, the Ka'asim. That's how the Radak says it. The Radak says, Mari Nevis Anoshim Ka'asanim Shi'esh B'chad Roseinu. The angry ones within our group, the ones that can't hold the temper, it's not going to work out well for you if you say another word. You know, we might hear you out a little bit, but there are those among us who aren't going to tolerate this. So you're better off. We're warning you now. You're better off just giving up. I guess not. And the people of Dan went on their way. And Micha saw that they were much stronger than him. And he turned by Yosef el Beso, and he returned to his house. He gave up. And they took that which Micha had made, as well as the priest that he had hired. And they came upon the city of Laish, this nation that was quiet and secure. Vayaku Osam Lishikarev, and they smote them by sword. Vesair Sarfu Vaish, and the city they burned in fire. Farshim Radak wonders why did they raise the city? Why did they burn it down? They're trying to conquer it. What? Right. So he says, it could have just been necessary for conquering it that they wanted to surprise them, and they just set the place aflame, and that was the easiest, simplest way to be successful in conquering it. Drive them out. Right. Nobody could hide. Or he said it's possible that it was full of idols, and it was like some kind of Iran Idachas type of situation where everything was used for idolatry, etc. He says, well, if that's the case, how could that be? What about their peso? What about their peso? These are the guys carrying their idols, and here they are. And they're raising a city because it's an idolatrous city. So he says, we referenced before, that they were doing. They thought that this was a means of, they believed in Hashem. They just thought that the peso was a means of worshiping Him. And many say about the ego also. Coming up in 2 weeks from now, Parsha, that the Megi Mefarshim learned that they were just using it as a vehicle, as a conduit to worship Hashem or to access Hashem there. So same idea here that they asked the Kohen he told them Hashem is going to be with you, there's definitely a belief in Hashem here, and I think this was the case of much of the Avodah Zarah being worshipped during the times of the Nevi'im, was not that they rejected the existence of Hashem or even believed completely in idols that they were as strong as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather that they used it as a means to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or they understood some kind of chutzpah, some kind of partnership, that there could be more than one power. But the idols of this town were exclusively, gods and idolatry. But this is just like Elohim. It's a power, Elohim. That just means to refer to just one of the kokos, one of the powers in the world, and they believed that Hashem had, that either that was a way to serve Hashem, to access Hashem, or that Hashem had instilled within it its own power, but it was a different type of idolatry than that of this other nation living in this city. And there was no one to save them. Because it was very far from Sidon, I guess the nearest place. The davar engelhamim adam, and again, like we said before, they didn't have anything to do with other people. They didn't have any connections, any treaties. Niba emek, Asher the base rechov, and it was in a valley. It was easily conquered by this place base rechov. By even the Esther, and they rebuilt the city by Yeshuva, and they settled there. By Yikru Shema Yer Don. And they named the city Don, the shame Don Abiyam, in the name of Don, their father, their forefather, after Yulad of Israel, the one who was born to Israel, to Yaakov Avinu. The Ulam Layish name Ayur Larishona, but Layish was its first name, and now they named it Don. And they set up this Pesel in their town. And this Kohen, here's where we learned his name, Yehonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, or it's a hanging nugget, it's really Moshe, who Ubanav Hayu Kohanim Reshevet Hadani, they were the priests. Shevet Dan, Ad Yom Gilos Haaretz, until the day of the exile. Now, which exile is this referring to? So, different portion of different approaches. So, Rashi says it refers to the Galus in the days of Sancheirim, the first Galus, which I think is when the 10 tribes were sent into Galus, I believe. Is that during the time of Sancheirim? Yeah? So it was until that time. The first Galus, first exile. The Radak takes issue with this. He says, how could it be that you could have David HaMelech King, Shlomo HaMelech King, and that this could still be allowed to go on, and there's still a city here of with an idol.
David HaMelech himself has
this. Okay, well, I don't know so much about this. Whatever the pshat in that is, this is another level of Pesel and how could that be? It can't be. So he says that what it refers to is until the time that the Aron was sent into Galus, into exile, when it was taken by the Plishtim, because at that time a lot of Jews were also sent into Galus. It was much earlier, and I think it was during the time of Eli HaKohen, it was after Shmuel that the Aron was taken into Galus. He said, how could it be then that you had Shmuel HaNavi, and Shmuel HaNavi didn't put a stop to this? So he says, well, first, during the time of Eli HaKohen, Shmuel HaNavi wasn't as prominent. He didn't have the power, and Eli HaKohen had his weaknesses. We saw with his children, and once and once and right, and then once Mulanavi came to his main position, that's when it was put up on top of the day. It was during the days of Mulanavi that it was destroyed. That's how the Radak learned. The Ralbag actually learns that it was much earlier that it was destroyed. During the time of Yochin Melech Kenan, before the days of Devorah even, it was destroyed. A much shorter life than the other commentaries. So different understandings of how long this pestle sat in this town. Oh, Yehona son? And it sounds like, it happens to be, I think he did have a long life, but I think he does appear again later, considerably later, but I think. But I wouldn't see that from this pasuk. Just says he and his children were the Kohanim, so right, it would have been passed on to his descendants that they were the priests of this idol. Vayasimu lahem es pesel micha asher asa kol yemei hayos beisai alokim b'shilo. And they had this pesel micha in their town all the days that the Mishkan was in Shiloh. This pesel was in this town. That's the end of the parent. Do we have any more time? Yeah, we have a couple more minutes. So that's sort of the end of the story. That's basically the end of the story. The Pesel Micha remains there, and it's a very destructive thing that ends up being a source of idolatry for many people for a long period of time. Going back a couple of psukim, one quick idea. So we see here, this group of Dan, they take the Pesel Micha, and they had asked the Kohen how's this going to work out, and he tells them Hashem is going to be with you, and sure enough, they're successfully conquering the land, despite that they're involved in idolatry. The Medrash in Parashat Kisisa discusses the pasuk, "L'cha Hashem atzaka v'lo neboshes hapanim." Hashem, you are the righteous one, and we are boshes hapanim. We are embarrassed. We are shamed. And the Gemara refers, the Medrash references this story. It says, "Amar Rabbi Yudan k'tiv v'heima lachlus asher asam icha." They took that which Micha had made, the tzelem, this image, this idol of Esha Kohen, and they took the priest, Vayavo Alayish, V'hima Tzrachas Tiyadom, they were successful. The Chiyesh Tzaka Gidolam Yizu, the Medrash asks, is there a Tzaka that's greater than this? Heve Lecha Hashem at Tzaka, you have here that Hashem is the one who is righteous, the one who gives Tzaka, that they were totally undeserving of this. They were going against the grain. They were going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and yet Hashem still provided them with success. Is there any greater tzedakah than that? And the Tomer Devorah, in discussing one of the different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, So one of those attributes is Mikel Kamocha. Who is a God like you? Who can possibly compare themselves to you? And the Talmud Torah says that this Mida is speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he accepts, he handles insults. and what we, you know, in a way that we could not do. That there's nothing hidden from his Hashgacha. Hashem is aware of everything. And there's not a moment in time where a person isn't being kept alive, provided for by the Ribono Shel Olam. And yet, and what if you put those two points together, Hashem's aware of everything and he's constantly providing, so every time a person sins, really Hashem should say, that's it, he's insulting me. I'm pulling the plug. You know, that's it. I'm cutting him off. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sovel. He accepts it, and he handles it, and he continues to provide. That's this midah of Lecha Hashem Atzaka. Hashem, Hashem, we're ashamed because we don't deserve it. But yet, Hashem continues to provide us with tzedakah, with everything we have, even though Hashem is fully aware that, you know, at any moment that someone's going against him, Hashem is fully aware, and yet he continues to give them. And that idea is really brought out in this parsha here, in this pasuk, this story, where as they're carrying the idol, as they're, you know, as representing them, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu still grants them atzlacha. That's this great midah that we have to try to emulate. That's what that pasuk is all about. That's what the pasuk, the Talmud Dvorah, is discussing. It's emulating the ways of Hashem, that we have to try to emulate that in accepting, you know, insult and still giving tzedakah, still being righteous.